Hey now, jumping off in hour two. Welcome in to Sports Talk here on WWL. I'm Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Lots of change awaiting the Saints this offseason. 25 free agents, restricted or unrestricted free agents this offseason. The Saints will have to make some decisions on who stays and who goes. We'll talk about that next hour. Also, what would you give up to get Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform? If you're general manager Mickey Loomis and head coach Sean Payton, and if they were to be inclined to do so, to move all the way up from 24 to the number one spot, who would you be willing to part with on the Saints roster to get all the way up to number 21? And how many draft picks would you give up to get Joe Burrow? And would he be worth it? Do you think he would be worth it? Climbing all the way up from 24, just to put it in NFL terms, moving that far up is incredibly hard to do. You're talking about a lot of firepower. You're talking about a lot of ammo that you would have to unload. I'm thinking two players, maybe even three, and two picks. Someone like Alvin Kamara, Teron Armstead, your number 24th pick this year, a number one the following year, and maybe even a number two. Some combination of five pieces, whether it's three picks and two players, three players and two picks. I think that's really kind of where it starts. That's just to start the conversation. I think in the end, you'd probably have to give up some combination of six pieces in general to move all the way up from 24 to 1. It can be done. It's not impossible. We've seen that. We saw the Ricky Williams trade. Ugh, gross. See how far that set back the Saints roster with Mike Ditka. But would he be worth potentially giving up five to six pieces, whether draft picks or players? I mean, a player or two that I think could be potentially enticing would be Teron Armstead. And in particular, because I think Ryan Ramczyk is eventually going to move over to left tackle. They're going to pay him. They've paid Teron Armstead, but they're also considering his availability. You have to. Unfortunately, the guy has been snake bit with injuries. But if you're going to make that move, that's the kind of players you would have to part with to move up from 24 to 21. Also, personally, what would you be willing to sacrifice? Just a personal sacrifice to ensure somehow Joe Burrow ended up with the Saints. What would you give up? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. What would you move on the Saints roster to move up from 24 to 1 to get Joe Burrow? You're the GM. You make the decision. You tell me. And then I'll be the Cincinnati Bengals and kind of be like, I'll either, depend on the offer that you extend me, I'll be the one to either accept it or not, based on what I think is a fair compensation. Having a little fun. What would you give up to get Joe Burrow in the Saints uniform? Also, our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. It's been 10 years since the Saints won a Lombardi. How much longer will it be before they win another? This upcoming season, 2 to 5 years, 5 to 10. And also, you can be the GM here, and our 25 Saints players scheduled to hit some form of free agency. Let's start with the quarterback group. Drew Brees, an unrestricted free agent. Teddy Bridgewater, unrestricted free agent. Taysom Hill is a restricted free agent. Who stays and who goes with that group? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Do you pay Von Bell? What do you do with Eli Apple? Andres Pete, what do you do there? Lots of decisions. Those are all unrestricted guys. A.J. Klein as well. He's an unrestricted free agent, along with David Onyemata, P.J. Williams, Ted Ginn Jr. Zach Lyon already announced his retirement. A number of chips the Saints have to work through in order to decide who's going to make up their 2020 roster. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Back here on Sports Talk, we preview the NFC and AFC title games this weekend. In the NFC, it is a rematch of the regular season. The 49ers manhandled the Packers pretty good in the regular season. Can Green Bay make the necessary adjustments and upset the number one seed San Francisco 49ers? Keith Jenkins, AP Sports reporter covering the Green Bay Packers, set to join us. Eric and Mike, if you're on hold, sit tight. I'm coming to you, I promise, but I want to talk to Keith. Keith, how are you?
Good, man. How are you, Christian?
Good. Listen, I'm sure it's been talked about in abundance up there in Green Bay. what they learned from that regular season beatdown at the hands of the 49ers. Do they have the enough? Will they make enough adjustments? And do they have the personnel to make said adjustments?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, will they make the adjustments? They have the personnel. They have great talent on both sides of the ball. It's just, will they make the necessary adjustments to not get blown out by 29 again? The issue here, or the question here, is Matt LaFleur. You know, he was heralded as this offensive genius. There's no better game to show that genius than on Sunday. All his friends, his brother, they're on the other sideline. He's got an opportunity to bounce back with a good game plan, and they seem confident that they'll be able to do so. I think what he has to do is get Rodgers out of the pocket and then get some motion, get some movement there so that Rodgers just isn't sitting there like a dead duck like he was in Week 12. But he's got to be very innovative in making sure that he's doing some different things and giving that defense some different looks. And they seem confident that they're doing that, and they got a good game plan. So we'll see how it shakes out.
We saw last week Aaron Rodgers, I think, the Aaron Rodgers of old, right? For the most part this year, would it be fair to say that you got glimpses of it, but you didn't get the consistent Aaron Rodgers that we were so accustomed to seeing? I think you saw it last week, though, in the playoffs. Can he build on that and be the Aaron Rodgers that we've grown to know, being a consistent, basically a consistent assassin?
No, that's fair. We've had some glimpses of the throwback Aaron Rodgers, the old Aaron Rodgers, not the old Aaron Rodgers, the 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers. But we've seen it. We've seen glimpses, and we definitely saw some last week. He's still a great player, and it's still in there. I think for him, he hasn't had to win like he's been accustomed to winning. He hasn't had to bring the Packers out of the fire in order for them to get a win like he's had to do throughout his entire career. He hasn't had a defense. He's been the organization for the last, 10, 15 seasons. And I think it's been comforting this season for him to not have to, carry all of the load this year. But he's going to have to carry that load this Sunday. This defense is tremendous. He knows it. And he's going to have that throwback performance if they're going to win this game and get to his second Super Bowl.
Keith, when you look at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Matt LaFleur, and the tremendous success in his first year, how comfortable do you think Aaron Rodgers is in this offense? Because I heard Troy Aikman breaking down a play or two last week that he was surprised that Aaron didn't see the read. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has a full grasp on this offense?
No, I don't. I don't think he does. I think every week is changing. I think every week it's game to game. I think they implement different things that they see each week to continue to get better, continue to learn each other, continue to figure out how can we utilize the weapons that we have. The weirdest thing with this offense is we knew what we were going to get from Davante Adams. He's one of the most productive, consistent wide receivers in the NFL. But they thought they would get more from Geronimo Allison. They thought they would get more from Marquez Valdes-Scantling, their second and their third options. They haven't. So it's been the Davante Adams show, and it's been the Aaron Jones show. Aaron Jones obviously has been a welcomed and invited opportunity for offense for this team, another weapon that LaFleur can use. But the offensive pieces that they anticipated having this season haven't quite shown up. Now, Jimmy Graham had a big game last week. He'll be big this week against San Francisco. But it seems like every week they're putting in more wrinkles, or they're learning more and more about, what they have at their disposal and what makes them the best for that particular matchup that week. And LaFleur and Rodgers continue to learn each other. Rodgers talked a lot this week about how he and Davante had conversations that directly led to them getting into the end zone. And those conversations, LaFleur had to listen to those guys and trust those guys that they're seeing the right things. And so that trust is just continually building. You got to admit, I mean, he's only been in Green Bay for a year. And that's in the grand scheme of things, that's not that long. They're still continuously learning. And, hopefully this week, they'll find a good groove against that defense. It'll be tough, but it should be exciting to watch.
Keith Jenkins, Associated Press reporter covering the Green Bay Packers. Short and sweet, Keith. Good job, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Eric in Algiers, give me your best Joe Burrow offer. Go ahead.
Hey, K-Dog. So I'm going to open it up. Oh, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
My offer to you. I'm going to offer you. And look, just say yes or no before you judge me on it, because it sounds kind of out there.
Okay.
I'm going to offer you Teron Armstead. I'm going to offer you Alvin Kamara. I'm going to offer you Marshawn Lattimore, and I'll explain that after. I'm going to offer Lattimore, and then I'm going to offer you my pick this year, my first-round pick this year, and the following year, not next year, but the following year, because, you know, there's no guarantees on next year. And that's my offer. The reason I say Lattimore is because, look, Lattimore is a very great corner. He's a good corner. But I also feel like, look, you're going to have to pay him soon. He only shows up in, you know, certain games. He's kind of suspect in others. And then you've also got Jackrabbit on the team. And I feel like the way C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been playing, I feel like that is your other Lattimore. And if you've got Jackrabbit on the team, you know, you cut ties with Apple, and that's my offer to you. So I got Lattimore, two first rounds, you know, one this year, one the following year, Armstead, and Alvin Kamara.
Eric, it's not a bad trade proposal. You know, here's the thing, though. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm going, I got Joe Mixon. I don't need Alvin Kamara. So, and the other part I'd like to invite you to think about is I would not be willing to let go of Marshawn Lattimore. I just wouldn't. Now, if you said Marcus Williams, okay, I'd be willing to let go of Marcus Williams.
Okay, I would.
So, on the surface, I would say, if I'm the Bengals, I'd say, I don't need Kamara. Give me another player, or give me another pick.
Okay, and that's good. And look, at least my goal was to get us in the talking at the talking table, and now we can wheel and deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's, and look, I don't know what the Bengals are actually, what they're thinking and how they want to redesign and rebuild their program. They've got an offensive minded coach who I'm sure is looking at Joe Burrow and going, hey, look, in order for somebody to get this guy away from me, out from underneath my grip, they're going to have to offer a king's ransom. I mean, I'm just guessing that it's 5 to 6 pieces. And he could basically decide, it might take 10. That's how, I mean, if you think about what the narrative was coming out of the national championship game, is that he had the best season of any college football player ever, any college quarterback ever. So if I'm the Bengals, man, you're going to have to, like, just completely blow me away. And, Eric, honestly, even that deal with substituting, taking Marshawn Lattimore out of it, finding me another substitute for the Alvin Kamara deal because I don't want Joe Mixon, and even throwing in Marcus Williams, I'm still saying I don't think it's enough. You got to come at me a little stronger. Like, in other words, if I'm the Bengals, because of the amount of success that Joe Burrow had, I mean, it might take 5 pieces just to get a conversation with me. He's going to be valued. And not to mention, man, the heat you're going to take if you're the Bengals, you trade out of that number one spot when you have an opportunity to take Joe Burrow, the Ohio homeboy. You don't take the guy that lives basically 2.5 hours away from your stadium. Man, the heat that you would, in the backlash you would take, you better, in other words, that's going to be considered. The brass is going to have to consider that and say, all right, well, if we don't, we better make sure we come away with this thing, or from this thing, with a lot of capital, a lot of haul, and a lot of cachet, and a lot of name recognition, along with some draft capital. I like your proposal, Eric, but if I'm Cincinnati, I'm probably saying no. I mean, I'll talk, but that's not the deal I'm taking. Thanks for the phone call, Eric. Let's go to Philip in LaPlace. What's going on, Philip? You're on WWL.
Hey, the Saints have done this one time before, and it was a stretch with Ricky Williams. But what about pulling Dick or Ricky Williams thing? Give away our entire draft because we know what Joe Burrow is. You know, I mean, we know what he can do. Arguably, like you just said, the best quarterback ever in college football. Trade our entire draft this year and our number one pick next year.
Here's the problem, though, Philip. And I get where you're coming from because they do have a lot of depth on this team, right? But you're then going to bring in a Joe Burrow that's going to succeed Drew Brees with nothing, no talent around him. Well, sure, Mike Thomas will be there. But what I'm driving at here is you're going to be without draft picks for 2 years, basically. If you give up your entire draft allotment this year and a number one next year, then, man, you're setting back. I think you're going to stunt. You would then stunt the growth. We saw it with Ricky Williams. It stunted the growth of the team. In particular, in this case, it would be stunting the growth of Joe Burrow because he wouldn't have any supporting cast. Not just offensively, but you're going to have to retool that defense as well over the next 2 years. You're not going to pay everybody. Right. You're not going to be able to. So, I mean, a Ricky Williams kind of deal, I think it would be irresponsible to do that. I just do. And look, for a player like Joe Burrow and a franchise-altering quarterback like Joe Burrow, I think can become, man, that's a lot.
Here's the thing. It was a friend of mine I work with at work that came up with this idea. I'm like, that might be able to work. Drew Brees is about ready to retire. When he retires, make him a quarterback coach for the Saints. Because you know they're going to want to keep him in the organization. And who better to teach somebody like Joe Burrow?
Philip, I highly doubt. I don't know for sure. But the amount of money that Drew Brees has made playing this game, sure, would he be a great coach? I think he would. But does he really want to put in the 16, 17-hour days game planning during the week and helping to build and grade players in the draft? I don't think that's his desire, Philip. I get the notion, but I don't think it's his desire.
Well, if we don't get Burrow, why don't we go after every team layer somewhere in the draft because we could use another running back that runs angry like Mark Ingram did?
Hey, I wouldn't have a problem with Edwards-Helaire landing in a Saints uniform. I wouldn't have a problem with Justin Jefferson landing in a Saints uniform at all either. And I think more so than any other year, I think the Saints are going to be much more on the LSU players because of the abundance of talent that's coming out. You know, there's this stigma that the Saints don't like LSU players. It's not that they don't like them. It's just they didn't have the talent that they had this year that's going to be going in the first, second, and third rounds. I mean, there's going to be a ton of LSU players that are going to get drafted high in this draft. All right, we'll continue here. Tony in Slidell, what's going on, Tony? You're on WWL.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, I've been thinking about this for about a week and a half or so. I discussed it Monday with the guys at the game. And I think Bridgewater, Cam Jordan, first pick this year, first pick next year.
Wait, say that again?
Cam Jordan, Bridgewater, first pick this year, first pick next year.
You're taking your best defensive player out of the equation.
Well, you're also
and not to mention you just gave him a big contract extension, so you're going to take a cap hit on top of that, a massive one at that.
Well, that's what you're going to have. Hey, yeah, you're talking about what you need to give up. Saints don't give up.
So
any
if I'm
of
Cincinnati, you're offering me Cam Jordan and two number ones.
And Bridgewater. Mm-hmm.
Well, Bridgewater's not under contract. They can't trade him unless they franchise him. They could not trade him right now. He wouldn't be under contract on draft day unless they re-sign him or they franchise tag him. But technically, he's off the table. He's got an expiring contract. Right now, he's technically a free agent, but the league year hasn't started yet. So he's not under contract is what I'm telling you. So you don't have his rights.
Yeah.
If I'm Cincinnati, I'm telling you no to that deal.
Yeah, well, Cincinnati's got they've got to get receivers. They've got to get they got to rebuild an offensive line. Best lineman they had for 15 years is in Los Angeles now. So and you're right. They don't need running backs. They've got two guys there. So,
Tony, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for the phone call. What would you give up to get Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform? I'm Cincinnati. You're New Orleans. Give me your best offer. Who would you move to get me to give up the number one pick so you can have Joe Burrow? Also, personally, what would you sacrifice? What would you go without for 2 years to ensure Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Arthur and Hamilton, sit tight. Going to get some intel on the San Francisco 49ers ahead of the NFC Championship game this weekend. Chris, and I'm sorry, I'm going to mispronounce your last name. Biederman. Chris Biederman, covering the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee. I think I got that right, Chris.
Yeah, the spelling's a little weird, so you're forgiven.
That's all right. My last name's Garrick. I get called Garlic all the time, so it just happens.
Oh, okay.
Nonetheless, hey, so how are the 49ers going to combat the adjustments that Green Bay is expected to make based on their regular season game in which the Packers got handled pretty good?
Well, they're expecting a completely different game. And Kyle Shanahan said early this week that, he said, quote, don't don't be stupid when it comes to, you know, looking back at that game and expecting the same result. The Packers have been on a roll. They've won six straight games. Anytime you go against Aaron Rodgers, you have to be concerned about him just sort of being a superhero and carrying the team on his back. And so the 49ers are well aware that, you know, what type of test that they're going to face on Sunday. It's going to be a completely different game. And you know, it starts really with leadership. Richard Sherman is sort of taken over that leadership role, particularly on defense, and has a ton of respect for Aaron Rodgers and has gone against him many times before and knows what kind of test he's going to provide the team. So I being around the team this week, everybody seems really locked in and focused. And there's also sort of a calmness, which I find a little bit unique given that the 49ers have not been there before. But it's a confident team. They've won a lot of big games this season, and they feel good about going into Sunday against the Packers.
Was 2011 the last – that season, was that the last time the Bay Area San Francisco's had the NFC title game?
I believe so, yeah, because they went on the road to Atlanta when they went to the Super Bowl the following season, and then there was the game after the 2013 season in Seattle. That Sherman broke up the pass in the end zone in the NFC title game. So, yeah, first time since, 2011, that Giants game where Kyle Williams dropped two punts and the Niners lost in overtime.
What's the Bay Area, what's the 49ers fan base talking about the most, hosting that game? How much are they abuzz?
They're definitely excited. This is a fan base that's, you know, seen a lot of different versions of quality contending teams, whether it's Bill Walsh's teams back in the 80s or George Seifert's in the 90s or Jim Harbaugh's earlier this decade, like I just mentioned. So it's not entirely new territory. I think this all happened with Kyle Shanahan significantly sooner than a lot of people expected. But I think that's one of the reasons why everybody is so excited is because the 49ers are new. They've had, you know, five down years in a row, basically, since Jim Harbaugh was moved on from in 2014. And so it's been a quiet fan base that's been ready to have a team to be excited about. And I think you've seen it in road games, particularly this year. There have been a lot of 49ers fans on the road. And so that indicates to me that they believe in this team. They're excited about it. And then ultimately, going 13-3, getting the number one seed, and now hosting the NFC title game, I think all that excitement is warranted.
How healthy are they?
They're completely healthy. For the first time all season, and really for the first time since I can remember being on the beat, they didn't issue an injury report going into the game. They have all 53 players on their active roster available and healthy. Nobody's questionable. Nobody's doubtful. Nobody's out. So they're all good. George Kittle missed practice on Wednesday because he had a little bit of ankle soreness coming out of that game last Saturday against Minnesota. And Dee Ford was closely monitored this week. He came back last week from a hamstring injury after missing five of the last six games. But he's full go, not listed on the injury report. And same for Quan Alexander, who came back off injured reserve last week after tearing his pectoral midseason in Arizona. So, yeah, they're fully healthy, about as healthy as you can expect. The only week one regulars that they don't have, two guys on injured reserve, their starting center, Weston Richburg, who's been replaced by Ben Garland, who played a really nice game against the Vikings last week. And then at nose tackle, DJ Jones, who had a really good game against the Packers in late November. He went on IR with a high ankle sprain. So it's a nose tackle. I mean, the 49ers obviously are going to prioritize stopping the run and Aaron Jones and what he can do, but they feel pretty good about their ability to do that even without DJ Jones, their starter at nose tackle.
Chris Biederman covering the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee. Good stuff as always, man. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, back to the phones we go. Phil on the North Shore, sit tight. We got Arthur first. And Gretna, go ahead, Arthur. You're on WWL.
Hey, thanks. Listen, I think it's really not possible to get Joe Burrow as much as we would like to have him. But I do have a few quarterbacks in mind that may fall down to 24, but this is very early. Obviously, the combine hasn't begun. But I'm looking at a guy like Jordan Love. I like from Utah. He's got a lot of running ability. He kind of reminds me of a poor man's Deshaun Watson. There's another guy from Washington State. He's got a big bazooka arm. Kind of reminds me of a cross between Stafford and what's the other kid's name? The guy Drew replaced. You know, he's a statue type of guy. But Jake Fromm, I think, but those guys would be guys that would fit, but they would have, we would have to make some real accommodations for them based on their abilities.
Arthur, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. What you're talking about doing is maybe waiting, see who falls to you at 24. I'm not saying the Saints wouldn't select a quarterback there, though, but given the Super Bowl window that's in front of them and how it's starting to close a little bit and how they're kind of all in to win now. They know they got to win another Lombardi. I think that at that point at 24, they're going to pick a player that they don't need to worry about a quarterback right now. If you move up, then yes, you're thinking about Joe Burrow and life after Drew Brees. And I think they are thinking about life after Drew Brees. That's why they've started to kind of tool the roster on defense the way they have. But I don't think they're taking a quarterback 24 unless it's somebody like Tua that falls all the way in their lap, which is possible, but I don't think likely.
Well, if it's Tua, they would still have to wait, because if he falls, it's because he's injured and he's going to wait another year or so.
Right,
so,
but I don't think at 24 they're drafting a quarterback.
So going according to your analysis, I would say a guy, because the running game stunk. I mean, the physicality. I mean, you know, let's face it, we all love Drew.
I don't think it stunk. They just didn't run the ball enough.
They weren't physical. I mean, they didn't. I want a guy like J.K. Dobbins. Perhaps he could, from Ohio State. You know, we like Ohio State guys. He's a good possibility. He could replace. He could possibly replace the type of physicality that we missed from Mark Ingram. I also like
Latavius Murray. Arthur, was when he was given the ball, was physical. He just wasn't given enough opportunities, I think. Although, I mean, I think that given the running back, if you're looking at running back and drafting there, I think they could maybe in the third round potentially if there's a special teams guy or a niche fit. But I think the core between Kamara and Latavius Murray, they're kind of set. They just paid Latavius Murray on a pretty good contract, so I don't think they're necessarily in the market. And the physicality, I would vehemently disagree with you. Up front along the offensive line, they're very physical. Latavius Murray's a physical running back. At times, Alvin Kamara is as well when he's healthy, but they didn't call enough for running plays. The running game didn't stink. They just weren't patient enough with it, I think, in critical moments. Phil on the North Shore. What's going on, Phil? You're on WWL.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, Phil.
Look, some people might think this is crazy, and I really don't care, but I give them Drew, because they need a quarterback. Am I wrong? Cincinnati needs a quarterback.
Yes.
Bad. I'd give them Drew Brees.
Not under contract. He's not under contract.
Well, I'll put him under contract and sell him.
No, you can't. Okay, well, if you do that, Phil, if you do that,
I understand.
It's silly because you're going to sign him and you're going to take a massive $25 million cap hit.
I didn't realize. I forgot all about that. That's my fault. I forgot all about that. Hey, I don't care what you got to do. If they got to spit quarters, we need Joe Burrow. That's all I got to say about it.
Phil, I get it. I understand the affinity and the affection and the desire to get Joe Burrow. But, man, from 24 to 1, you're going to have to give up a lot. And I don't think it's going to happen. It's really hard to move that many places from 24 to 21. I don't want to say impossible because anything is possible, but that would be quite the jump. Coming back for Daniel and Franklinton and you two at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. What would you give up to get Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform? I'm Cincinnati, you're New Orleans. Give me your best offer here on Sports Talk on WWL. You're New Orleans, I'm Cincinnati, you're trying to get Joe Burrow in a Saints uniform. Give me your best offer. Michael in New Orleans, go ahead, you're on WWL.
Yes. Think that I would give them, I wouldn't even play with it. I think that I would give them Mike Thomas and Marshawn Lattimore, and that's to close the deal.
Just those two players?
Yep.
Now, if I'm Cincinnati, I'm going, try again. Again, I've said it. Maybe you weren't listening, but this is I think to get that number one pick to move all the way up from 24 to 1, two players isn't going to cut it. I've got to have 5 to 6 pieces to have the conversation, to pick up the phone. You better be ready to give me 5 to 6 pieces, whether 4 players, 2 picks, and 4 players, some combination thereof. Mike Thomas and Marshawn Lattimore is not going to fetch you the number one overall pick with Joe Burrow coming out. It's just not going to happen. I get it. And, Michael, let me tell you, that's the player. Mike Thomas is the player that would be off limits. If I'm trying to get Joe Burrow here, he'd be off limits. I want to have that weapon at Joe Burrow's disposal. I just signed him to a long contract. Now, if you're the Carolina Panthers, you are within striking distance. You can get from 7-1. And I think that their design might be to get up to number one to get Joe Burrow. I think that the hiring of Joe Brady has several tentacles to it. Obviously, they think highly of him as the offensive coordinator. But, man, would you make that hire if you're not maybe entertaining the idea of pairing those two together? Watch out for Carolina. Walter and Kenner, along with Ernest and Lakeview, you lead off next hour here. This is Sports Talk on WWL.